How many of you men have ever had labor pains? Oh, no. Okay. We're not going there, but you know what? We think sometimes that we know what's going on, and so let's see this up here. We don't empathize at all, but yeah, can you read it? I can relate to your pain. That cold I had last week was miserable. And if a husband would say that to his wife when she was going through labor in the hospital, she would probably backhand him forward. Okay. In regards to the idea of what women experience. It's interesting how that the Lord's talking to his disciples in John, and he's talking about that birthing process. He's talking about the travail. He's talking about the labor pains. And so often, you know, and I've heard this from a distance before, I don't get too involved in those conversations, but you get a few ladies together that are talking about a girl that just had a baby, and man, the stories come out. Yeah, I know, but they're not as gruesome. Okay, you know, and so when you stop and you think about it, but it happens, okay? And we guys, as understanding as we like to be, we don't get it. We just don't get it. And you know, we go through labor with our wives, and this is how we are. Okay. This is Richard's son and their new grandbaby and his daughter-in-law. And we as guys is kind of like, man, she is, oh, I can't believe how hard I worked. And we fall asleep and she's there awake and cuddling the baby. And I told Richard, I warned him about this morning. You know, when you put pictures on Facebook, beware where they may go. And so you can tell Richard that Richie was a part of our service this day. And so when we don't get it, okay? We don't get it, but we still try to understand, but you know, that's us also. And so as we stop and we think about some of these pictures here, if only it was this easy, okay? If only it was this easy. And yet, when we stop and we think about some of these pictures here and we think about birth and birthing, and it's all part of mothering and motherhood and Mother's Day, we come to some thoughts that I just really grabbed my heart and my mind, and I thought, yeah, I can preach a Mother's Day message on this. And so we got started here, and you know, I try to come up with something fresh all the time, and God brought this as I was having devotions one day. And your outline, unless adoption was the alternative, every mother here today can tell you of the process of giving birth as if it was yesterday. There is something about the travail of birth that shapes a woman for life. As each woman is consciously aware of that event, so the Scriptures uses that event throughout its pages as a powerful picture not to be forgotten. On this Mother's Day, how powerful is that picture? On this Mother's Day, how powerful is that picture? And I think it is when I began to study this out a little bit more, I began to stop and realize that, wow, you know, God uses this picture here of ladies and mothers giving birth in regards to a concept that is found from Genesis through the book of Revelation. And in many different ways, in many different shapes and forms. And I thought, man, why, God, why are you doing this? I find it to be very interesting because I think this is something that from the very beginning, this whole concept of birth and children and moms and dads was a part of God's plan. And it was a powerful, powerful plan and a powerful, powerful picture. And so this morning, I'd like to take some time and just kind of look at this and trace it through Scripture and how God uses that picture of labor, travail. If you're going to be a mom, you're going to go through that unless adoption is another option. But as far as that's concerned, there's that process, that laboring process. Birth, what a picture. And so as we start here today, and as I was looking at this here, number one, you have the promise in the beginning. The promise in the beginning. And we know what that promise is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16. Because they had disobeyed God and they had partaken of the fruit. Now I want to, as we read this here, the Lord says unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow, labor, in pain, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Did you ever stop and think about that? That prior to the fall, there wouldn't have been labor pains. But nobody knows that. Because when the fall took place, this is a part of the curse. But the promise in the beginning. Now I remember, and I'm going to share a story here this morning. I can remember when we had our first, Alicia. Back in 1984. During that time, there was this great big push across America that verse Genesis 3:16, when it says in labor, it meant the idea of effort. And therefore, if you learned how to breathe correctly, it wasn't going to be that bad. And I saw that, and so I went and I took the classes with my wife, and man, we're there and say, okay, at this time of pregnancy, you got to breathe like this. You know, and then after a while, you got to go, you know, and all kinds of stuff like that. And so I had it down, man. I had it nailed down to what I was supposed to be doing at a certain time. And so my wife is in labor. But what happened was, the night before she went into labor, we went out to a restaurant in Greenville, South Carolina, that had the best homemade onion rings anywhere. And so we had a double cheeseburger, half and half. And a double cheeseburger half and half meant your plate was half filled with French fries and the other half of the plate was filled with these homemade onion rings. I mean, they were good. And so we had the double cheeseburger half and half. And we went home and all of a sudden she woke up and said, I think this may be the time. And so early in the morning we went to the hospital. And so we're there at the hospital and things are starting to transpire and transgress, and transpire, okay? And we're going along at this point and we're starting to breathe. And so I'm there and I'm helping my wife breathe and I'm saying, here, honey, breathe like this. And all of a sudden she got done a contraction. She looked at me and says, honey, your breath from those onions last night is horrible. You know, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, now you're self-conscious, you know, and then you gotta keep helping breathing. So they're getting ready to go into transition, and you gotta do this other kind of breathing. And they came back and my wife goes, I'm getting so lightheaded. And the nurse looks at me and says, Slow it down. You know, you're having to breathe too much, he's hyperventilating. And so I'm going, oh no. But what was it based upon? It was based upon the fact that labor was supposed to be something of effort but not pain. You know what I found out? That whole concept was not true. Because when you go through scriptures and you see the idea of travail, it means it hurts. It means it hurts. And it's effort. And you know, and I can remember, you know, we got to the point of the baby's not moving, and the Friskies can relate to this with their daughter-in-law, Casey. And Peggy started to push, and she started to push, and she started to push, and she started to push. And man, I mean, she was a trooper, and all of a sudden I see blood vessels popping in her face and things of that sort because the baby would not move. So all of a sudden we were at one spot in Greenville at the University of Bob Jones and had to move the whole way across Greenville, South Carolina, to a hospital where she had a C-section. And for all of us, we praise God that we have C-sections. Because in the Jewish mind, at this time, when they thought about the idea of birth, to the Jewish mind, childbirth emphasized the subject's suffering and unknown outcome of the crisis. What do we mean by that? The authors of the Bible realized that giving birth and undergoing crisis are both human events where a threshold is crossed into either life or death. If there wouldn't have been for a C-section, we would have experienced death, possibly two deaths. But because of our modern medicine and things of that sort, we experienced life. at the time of creation and throughout history until we came to the era of Caesarean sections, every birth carried that movement to a point of either life or death. Because many ladies would die in childbirth. We see it in Scripture, and it was recorded in history. And so this promise in the beginning was a part of the fall. Every one of you ladies will go one day and you'll talk to Eve and say, "Man, Eve." She goes, "Sorry, girls, I know." But it was a part of the fall. And this whole idea, if you breathe just right, it won't hurt. Every one of you ladies can say, "That's not true. It was a fad and we lived through it, but we don't want to live through it again." And so in the beginning, this birth here, and in sorrow, in pain, in labor, you'll bring forth children. And that became the promise for every mother. And at that time, that promise came with the unknown expectation of what the end would bring forth. And so God began the whole process. And as you begin the process, we look at labor, we look at travail. Let's see where it's used in Scripture now. It's a picture also of personal pain. It's a picture of personal pain. If you would go with me to Isaiah chapter 21. Let's go in the Old Testament here to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Isaiah 21. And that word for sorrow, travail, that you find in Scripture that talks about travail, is like found, it's like 290 different times throughout the Old Testament and Scriptures. But let's go to Isaiah 21. Isaiah is a prophet. Isaiah at this point here is, if you got any headings in your Bible, you find it that at the beginning of that chapter it says a prophecy in regards to Babylon. And that's true. And what do we see here? Well, I'll start with verse 1. It says, The burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it is cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. And it's talking about the idea of Babylon. It says, verse 2, a grievous vision is declared unto me. Isaiah is saying, God gave me a vision. And Isaiah, as a prophet, saw things happening in the future. It's recorded. You can go back. You can see where Isaiah prophesied. You can see, as secular history unfolds, where it came to pass. Some people say, well, that doesn't happen. Yeah, that does happen. God knows what's going to happen in the future. And so God gave that word to Isaiah. And he said, here's what's going to happen. And he says, a vision is declared unto me, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoils. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Medea, all the sighing thereof that I have made to see. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Now, what's going on here? Babylon was in control. The Medes and the Persians destroyed Babylon. Isaiah was given a vision of what was going to happen when the Medes and the Persians came in and took over Babylon. Verse 2. Verse 3. Here's what Isaiah says. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. What was he saying? God gave him a vision of the destruction of Babylon. And as he gave Isaiah that vision of the destruction of Babylon, it was so bad of what was going to happen that Isaiah could say the only thing I can equate it with was the idea of going into labor. Isaiah had watched enough ladies in Judaism give birth. And the effort and the pain and the anguish and the turmoil. And the Scripture uses it here with Isaiah, and he uses it at different spots throughout the Scripture also for us to understand that when I stop and say that this is not birthing from Genesis 3:16 was just not a physical effort. It was something that hurt. So Isaiah said the same thing as a man. You know, Isaiah could have said, you know, it's like being stuck with a spear or cut with a sword. But what did Isaiah say? This vision I saw, man, it hurt. Oh. You know, it's like the Jewish women between the birthing stones, and they're doubled over and they're bent over and they're, and Isaiah said, you know, I don't get it, but I do get it. And then God used that picture of a woman giving birth as a metaphor of a man seeing something that was so terrible and so horrible that, man, it just caused him to double over too. And God took that blessed picture of life. And again, the outcome could be life. The outcome could be death. And Isaiah said, when I saw what God was going to do in the future in regards to his judgment against this nation, it was like, as best he could describe it, would be like a woman he has seen in labor. And he tried to put himself into that very scene in that picture. I think it's interesting that we find that picture found in Scripture, throughout the Scriptures, for us to understand. Every woman in here, every mother who's gone through travail or going through labor, man, you got it. You understand it. We guys try to wrap our mind around it by what we have seen. You know, our colds are so miserable. You know, there's a video out right now, I think, and so my son-in-law was telling me about, you know, we men are such babies. You know, there's a lady in the emergency room, and she's bleeding, and she's in a dire situation, and a guy comes in and says, oh, no, my nose is, and a doctor runs over, do you have a man cold? You know, poor men. We take a beating, but we're babies sometimes. You know, we're babies. And here's Isaiah at this point in regards to his own personal pain. He says, I saw this vision. And he goes back to this birthing process to try to put some meat to it, some emphasis to it, so that we might be able to kind of understand, even in this day and age, we might be able to understand what he was sensing or what he was feeling. So it's a picture of personal pain. Let's go to another one. If you notice, you'll see I'm pink and blue today. Okay, pink and blue. A picture of God's judgment. A picture of God's judgment. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah and Jeremiah use this metaphor extensively in their writings. Isaiah chapter 26 in verses 16 through 18. And he says here, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And then he goes and he says, but in regards to that, I don't want to go on there at this point, but the dead men shall live together with my dead body, with my dead body shall they arise. You have Isaiah's writing this picture of God's judgment. And what he's saying here is he says, we have lived and we are in captivity and are going to go into captivity. And this captivity is going to be so painful. It's like a woman who's in labor. But in your King James, it says it's like a woman who's brought forth wind. The concept is this. A woman goes in labor, there should be some end result. And his picture was, we went into labor and there was no end result. We just experienced the pain and the travail because we sinned against the Holy God. And Isaiah uses that picture here in regards to God's judgment on them as a nation. I thought about that, and it says, you know, wind. It carries the idea that there was no end result. And my mind was drawn to how many ladies have gone through stillbirth. And the end result was a child that went on to be with the Lord. And as Isaiah was here looking at this situation here, and as he was looking at God's judgment that was coming upon the nation of Israel, he uses that picture, a picture which every woman in here can unite with. You've been there. We men haven't. All we have has been observers. But God uses that picture of motherhood and the process of beginning of motherhood to lay before us and for those who were at that time and for us at this time to get a concept of the idea that sometimes God has to judge, and when He judges, it's not easy. But because God is righteous, and because He's a judge of all the earth, He needs to carry out judgment. If He doesn't carry out judgment, He's not perfect in His justice. And so He needs to carry it out. And as He carries it out, and as Isaiah writes about what God was going to do in judging the nation of Israel, he draws it back into that analogy of a woman in labor and a woman in travail. And he says, do you get the picture? Yeah. Many of us as guys have been in the delivery room. There was a time that in days gone by, they didn't let men in the delivery room. You know, because they were wimps, they were going to pass out, you know, and stuff like that. I found it to be interesting. I enjoyed being there, even when my wife had C-sections. The first one I couldn't be in because it was an emergency. It was like, boom, Alicia's heart rate was up to 210. The baby was being stressed, mother was being stressed, and it's like, we got to get out of here. The second one I was there, and so I'm there, and they're taking me out. And they're walking me out, and they say, okay, come on, you go this way. And I'm looking around. My wife calls it Snooper and Blabber. That was me and Terry when we were kids. I was Snooper, Terry was Blabber. But I wanted to see what was going on, you know. And so I walk around, and I'm looking, and you know, I can see the placenta laying on her stomach, and I'm going, wow, this is pretty cool. And then a week later, Candace came down with spinal meningitis. But when we see this happen, and we see this concept and this picture here, of what's going on, you know, we try to wrap our minds around it and God wants us to understand it in this way. We find more thoughts in regards to God's judgment in Isaiah 66, Jeremiah 13, Jeremiah 22, Jeremiah 30, Jeremiah 49, you know, Jeremiah 50, and all these thoughts are also not only Israel, but they deal with Damascus, they deal with Babylon, they deal with Assyria, and he uses the picture over and over and over again of his judgment and that picture of a woman in labor in regards to, get this picture here, get it. And so as we go on there and we see what's happening, let's go to the next thought here. It's a picture of God's deliverance. A picture of God's deliverance. Go to Isaiah 42. You know, as I was studying, I've never studied this like this before, and as I began to study it out, and look, I thought, wow, how many times we find that here? You know, and as you look at it, and you see it here in Isaiah 42, verses 13 through 17, you find the picture here again. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, or as a mighty war hero. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long taken hold of my peace, or I have long held my peace long enough. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all the herbs, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the ponds, and I will bring the blind by the way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. What's the picture? The picture here in Isaiah 42, as he's there writing at this point, is this. He says, okay, they've been in judgment. And this is actually messianic and millennial. It means it's looking way into the future, but right now it's coming out of captivity. And he says, you know what? God said this, I've had enough. My heart yearns for my nation Israel, for my people. My heart yearns for them. And I've had enough. It's time to step in. He says, I come in as a war hero. And some of the original Bibles have that there. I came in as a war hero. And then he says, and I came in like a woman in travail. Now, you sound like, that sounds pretty powerful. The story was told one time of a of a gal who was screaming in labor, and they said, "You got to be quiet. You're going to scare all the other girls." She says, "They need to be scared with what we're going through right now." You know, there's something about that sometimes that, you know, you ladies have been there. We guys have been kind of, and I saw a picture, a cartoon about a woman in labor, and she had the hand of her husband, and then there was this human silhouette on the wall, and she just smacked him out the door, through the wall, but was still hanging on to her husband. You know, those cries of, ah! And you know, it's interesting that God uses that picture to stop and say, you know what? It's time for me to let loose and rescue my people. As a woman in travail cries out, God uses that picture of His deliverance of His people. Wow, what an interesting metaphor. You know, some ladies scream louder than other ladies. I remember being at Bob Jones University, and it's a Christian university, and the doctors always said, we're surprised sometimes, some of the things that the girls say, even though they say they're saved, you know, some there you get into that point of this effort. No, it's like pain. And they say some things and go, wow, where did that come from? You know, deep inside. The picture of God's deliverance. And this is what He's saying here to the nation of Israel. He says, I'm coming back. And it's time for me to step up. And when I come, I'm coming as a war hero. And I'm coming like a woman is in travail. Get out of the way. What a picture. What a picture. God uses that picture of Himself. Ladies, you're in good company. When it comes to delivering babies, God says, I understand. I set it up. And so there was this deliverance that's taking place here in regards to this. And God uses this picture as a picture of deliverance. A lady loves to be delivered from her baby. It's called delivery. That's why. You know, they get the baby out, please. Soon. Any way possible. God comes to deliver. Not only does He go there, it's a picture of God's redemption. Go to Micah 4 and verse 10. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Isaiah, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk. I'm taking my time here too, so that's a hard one to find. Micah 4 and verse number 10. Micah's talking about the same thoughts. And as he's talking about the same thoughts here, it's interesting how that here, the picture is a deliverance in regards to the good thing, the good direction here. In Micah 4 and verse 10, Micah writes this, "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered, where the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies." And as he's talking about this here, Israel being in labor and in pain and laboring as a woman that goes through labor, he says, you're going to go out. But he says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to redeem you. And I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to redeem you unto myself. Yes, yep, there's judgment coming. But he says, as you go out and like a picture of my redemption and her labor pains as she's in that situation right here, the Lord takes it and says, you know what, but I'm going to come back. And I'm going to redeem you back to myself. And so what he does at this point, he draws this picture of here she is. Man, she's in labor and you got judgment coming and travail is coming. And when that birth starts, when those pains start, there's no turning back. But he starts to get him to the end and he says, but there's life and there's death. And I'm coming back to redeem you. I'm coming back to redeem you. How many ever thought of redemption pictured as a woman in labor? I didn't. it, there it is. And there it is. And he says, you know what? You can equate with it. You can relate to this. And you know what, guys? The ladies can relate to it even better than we can. That's not fair. But they can. They can. And so it's a picture of God's redemption in Micah 4 in verse number 10. Let's go on. There we're back to blue again. A picture of the present. A picture of the present. What do we mean by that? Well, we got to go to the book of Romans 8 and verse 21 and 22. So let's go back there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. A picture of the present. Romans 8, 21 and 22. It says this, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, for we know that the whole creation, all of creation right now, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Some of your Bibles have in there, groans and travails as a woman in labor until this very moment. The curse of sin is a picture of this very present moment. Even though it was written at that time, some 2,000 years ago, it's still true today. What do we mean by that? Is creation getting better or getting worse? It's winding down. The laws of thermodynamics say things do not get better, they get worse. Right now, you look at the Big Island in Hawaii and what's happening there. Creation is groaning. Was that God's original purpose to have those volcanoes blowing up all over the place and burning people's houses up and stuff? Not at all. But it was a picture of the curse upon this planet when mankind rejected God. And Paul uses this picture for us to understand that even on a terrestrial scale, as a woman labors individually and she groans and she's pushing and not and all this kind of stuff as she's laboring, the planet itself, the planet that we live on, he said, let me give you a picture of where it's at right now, doing the same thing. The devastation, the tragedies that happen around our globe in regards to the weather and natural phenomena and storms and cyclones and hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes and tsunamis and all that. That was not God's plan. Right now, our planet is groaning because of the curse of sin. Like a woman who groans when she's given birth. And you know, that's not, God's plan is for this place to be in perfect harmony, this world to be in perfect harmony, and it will get back there again. But right now, he says, I want you to understand something. It's like a lady in labor pains. It's like a lady about ready to give birth. And when our planet gives birth, there's going to be a time of peace on this planet, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. And a child will lead them. And they'll play on the den of a cobra and on a viper. And they won't be bitten and they won't be killed and they won't die. Because birth is going to give path to life. And so the Apostle Paul writes with this picture of labor and where our planet is at this moment and where we're going to head. It's a picture of the very present moment in which we live. How many different uses in Scripture of this process of becoming a mother? Of this process. A picture of the future. A picture of the future. You go back a little bit further in your Bible here to 1 Thessalonians. 5 and verses 2 and 3. Most of you know this verse. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in a night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. What's the thought there? Number one, when labor pains start, ladies, how many of you said, back it off, we're going to go a different direction? You're not going to escape. All right, you got to go through it. It started. You're going to get to the finish. And he uses the same picture here in regards to what is yet to happen to this planet. The Lord's coming back. And when people are going to say peace and safety, and they're going to get very comfortable in the realm that they find themselves, God said that day when they don't expect it, boom, I think I just had my labor. My first pain began, my water broke, whatever happened to get it started. And he says, you know what? We still have that yet for the future. And that will be a time of death. That will be a time of death. It'll be God's judgment upon this planet for its rejection of who God is. And so he talks about it yet being something that is going to be yet in the future. But to come together, here we come back to John chapter 16. John 16, where we began this morning, where we read this morning. And if you read my news from the pews, or the news from the latest news from the pews, you would have read, I used those scriptures there to talk about Mother's Day. As the disciples were there and the Lord was talking to them about the idea that he was going to die, he said, the world's going to rejoice, you're going to sorrow. But he said, there's going to come a moment where they're going to sorrow and you're going to rejoice. And he says, let me give you a picture. You guys, you disciples, you've seen some of your wives, some of the ladies that you know give birth. Maybe. Generally, the midwives were there. That time probably kept the disciples out. They were a bunch of weak men too. Probably pass out, you know, stuff like that. But what's he say? A woman will go through that time of intense labor. She'll go through that time of pushing and groaning and breathing and contractions and all those things. And all of a sudden, it's a boy. Or all of a sudden, it's a girl. And they take that little baby and they bring it up and they lay it upon that mama. And she just forgets the past 20 hours. And she starts counting fingers. And she starts counting toes. And she looks at the cute little nose. And they look at all these things. And the Lord said, you know, we're in a time of labor right now. The world is. But when I come back, what a time of joy. What a time of joy. And the Lord uses this illustration to his disciples at their darkest hour, at his darkest hour. He was at that point going to Gethsemane, and he knew that Judas was going to be coming, and he was going to be betrayed, and he was going to go to the cross. And at his darkest hour and their darkest hour, he comes back to this picture of labor and delivery and says, there's still going to be life. There's still going to be joy. And for you mamas, you got it. You get it. You know what he said. We guys are secondhand. And you've been through it. And yet, you can. Every one of you moms, no matter where you may be with the children right now, you can go back to that day, and you can think about that day, and you know the joy that God brought to your heart when they took that little bundle and laid it next to you. And I was just so enamored by how God used that picture throughout Scripture to make a point. Ladies, you got something on us. And you rejoice in it. And you'd be glad. Our world today makes a mockery of women and mothers that stay at home and be with their children. And oh, you can do more than that. You can, no, man. That's the greatest you can do. And our Lord ends this, and I bring this picture to us because I want us to stop and to realize that, you know, there is joy yet to come. And as the disciples were looking at sorrow, and he said, yet if you believe in me and you receive me, there's joy yet to come. There's the picture of life again. Birth and travail brought on this journey, and it could end in death, it could end in life. And for you and I to understand, there's only one way for it to end in life, is that we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And when we get to the end, it'll be joy. We get to the end, it'll be joy. And so this day, that may be familiar to some people. Motherhood, a picture we all can appreciate. A picture we all can appreciate. And I find it so interesting that God takes that picture of labor. And as he takes that picture of labor, the application is made in so many vivid ways in our Christian walk. And for you girls and mothers, oh man, you understand, you know. It's a great thing. And so, Father, this day we come before you and we think of mothers and we think of motherhood. And Lord, in this room here, you know the hearts of every mother in here. And I have taken them probably back to some memories. And yet, Father, we thank you that when we look at it and apply it to you, there is joy in the end. I ask this morning, Lord, maybe there's someone here who's not yet sure that they know you and can be anticipating that joy, that they would allow your Spirit to speak to their hearts and they would respond to the invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. With the birth of a child, as the Hebrew mind went towards either life or death, where do you find yourself? Do you know if you died, there would be yet joy because you'll be with Jesus? That's not a given, folks. Jesus Christ said it himself. That's not a given. You got to receive me. You got to believe me. You got to follow me. You say, I'm not quite sure. If you want to be sure, slip your hand up and put it down. I'll recognize it and we'll speak afterwards. What a beautiful picture. And now, Father, we come to you on this day that we celebrate motherhood. But realize to come to the point of being a mother, there is often travail and labor and intensity. I thank you, Father, that we know the end, and the end is joy. And so this day, Lord, be with all the mothers in this room. And wherever they may find their hearts at this moment, be real to them like they've never experienced your presence before, producing joy and peace, knowing that you truly are the one in complete control. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.